Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. Surrounded by the beauty of creation, we come to worship the Creator. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're pleased that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the very first time, we're delighted that you're here, and those of us who are here on a regular basis would like to meet you, shake your hand, and if we don't get to you quickly enough, you come introduce yourselves to us, because we are pleased that you've joined us, and we hope you'll find a home here with us. One way to do that is through becoming involved in the congregation and what God is doing through the congregation. You can do that by looking at the many opportunities that are listed in the bulletin inserts. I'm going to lift up just a few opportunities. First of all, our youth are continuing their stock sale to support the youth mission trips this coming summer. If you can't go with them, you can certainly be with them in spirit as you sponsor the youth by buying stock. There's a table out in Reed Hall, and Asha Zink and Lynn Zink, Elena Klein and Jack Ferrara will be glad to help you with that. Also, this coming Tuesday evening, May 20th, in McWhorter Hall, is the Promise for Haiti dinner. Promise for Haiti empowers local Haitian community leaders to care for their neighbors through health care, Education and Community Development. For the details, please look in the bulletin insert. That's this coming Tuesday. And then this coming weekend, May 16th through the 18th, a musical play will be performed in the four-story theater, The Gleaner Song. It's based on the Book of Ruth. Those of you who were here during Lent heard a lot about the Book of Ruth during that time. This play intends to take a fresh look at that by setting it in a new setting. I hope you'll be able to attend. You know, God's love is not just for us gathered here. It's far bigger than that. God's love is not just for those Christians around the world who gather on Sunday morning. God's love is much bigger than that. You know, in fact, God's love is not just for human beings. God's love is far bigger than we ever imagined.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
has risen.
Christ has risen indeed.
God is alive.
New birth is given.
Love is alive.
Death cannot harm us.
We are alive.
New life is within us.
The church is alive.
God's Spirit is within us. Let us celebrate God the resurrection.
Let us confess to God. Come to us, God, like fresh water, softening the soil of a parched and weary land. We confess that hurts and disappointments harden our hearts. Frustration and failures dry us out. Shame clouds our judgment. Come to us, God, with life-giving power. Free us from resentment, reluctance, and reserve. Remind us that in our forgiveness, we are free. Lead us beside still waters and restore our souls. As the sun melts the ice in the spring and blossoms burst forth on dry branches, so God's warmth heals us and transforms the deadness and brokenness within us. In Christ, we are a forgiven people. Forgiven. May we be forgiving.
Of Jerusalem. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring my clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." The word of God for the people of God.
Please be seated, and if any other youngsters would care to join us up here, you would be welcome to come down and join us. So, if you'll turn and look at me, it helps me tell the story. If I see your faces, it helps me a lot, actually. A long, long time ago, when I was studying to be a pastor, I lived a long way away in a place called Chicago, and I lived in a great big building that had lots of apartments in it, and lots of people living there. And in the basement of that building was several washing machines, a place where you could wash your clothes, several washing machines and several dryers. So one day I went down to wash my clothes, and as I was getting them out of the dryer, I heard, meow, meow.
I thought, there's a cat in here somewhere. I was pretty bright, see? I was in graduate school already. So I went looking for the cat, and sure enough, there was this lean, skinny-looking cat, except for her belly. Her belly was kind of distended and rounded, but she seemed friendly enough. I petted her a little bit, and as soon as I started petting her, she climbed up on my shoulders. I thought, this may be my cat. So I asked around to see if any of the folks in the apartments happened to be missing a cat, if they knew of anyone who had lost one. Had not heard from anyone that they had lost a cat. Well, I took her to, I named her Teeny, because she was pretty teeny, and took her to the veterinarian to get her checked out. The veterinarian helped her in several ways and informed me that she was going to have kittens. That's why her belly was kind of rounded. Well, one evening, I had fixed a box with some towels in a closet in this little apartment, and one evening, I heard her meowing in there, and throughout the evening, I got to watch her give birth to 6 kittens. Now, 2 were kind of whitish-colored. One looked like a seal point Siamese. 2 were black with sort of tabby markings, and 2 were orange with tabby markings. So she was into diversity. She had a wide variety of kittens, let me tell you. And I watched as she cleaned them up, and they started to nurse, and I watched them as they were able to nurse and then finally be independent enough they could eat their own cat food. And I thought, you know, I will never be a mother, but I can learn a lot from this creature and her care and her mothering. Now, one of those became my longtime friend, one of those kittens. I named him Spanky. He lived 18 years, and at that time, he probably was my friend longer than just about anybody I had known except my parents. But I think if we look around at creation, we learn a lot from other creatures. Now, today is Mother's Day, right? And mothers always want all the kids at home, whether it's Mother's Day or Thanksgiving or Christmas. It's their desire to have all their children around them. In many ways, just like Teeny wanted all of her kittens there to be taken care of. Well, in the story you just heard Davis read, God is like that mother because God makes an agreement, not just with human beings, no, with all the creatures of the earth. God is like a mother who wants all the creatures to be gathered, wants all the creatures to know that they're loved, wants all the creatures to know that God is looking out for them. And so, as you hear me talk more about it, and as you celebrate Mother's Day, which I assume you will do, then you can think about how God is like that mother who wants all of us nearby. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for loving us. We thank you that you want us all near you. No matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, we thank you that you have loved not just us, but that you have loved all of your creation, everything that you have made. Help us to love everything that you have made as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. Growing up in rural Stewart County in Montgomery County, I grew up about a generation older than I should have. What I mean by that is that the practices of the people, my family, my people, were older practices. For example, we didn't have a farm. We had about a half acre that we grew a big garden on, but my Uncle Dude had a farm, and his name wasn't Dude. That was a nickname he got early on. You can imagine how. My Uncle Dude had a farm, and he was one of those old-timey farmers. He plowed with mules, and I learned to plow with mules, okay? And you develop a relationship with the mules you plow with, and they develop a relationship with you. And if you've never plowed with mules or been around them, believe me, they have a mind of their own. You are not necessarily in control of what's going on. Oh, you try to be with your voice and with the rain, but We also had our own chickens. We gathered eggs. When we ate fried chicken, we did not go to the store and find it wrapped up in plastic. It was running around that back lot. And we killed hogs. We had hogs, and we made sausage, and we had shoulders and hams. And I knew exactly where those had come from because I had been a part of helping to kill the hogs, to prepare that meat. Actually, my dad and I usually wound up rendering the lard, which is a pretty nasty job out in the yard with a big round black kettle. I had a relationship with my food. Now, that sounds a little weird to us because we don't think you need a relationship with your food. All you have to do is go to the store, buy it. It's just like any other substance, and you just eat it. But you see, I knew that those animals had given their lives so my life could be nourished. That makes a difference in how you view the animal and how you view your food. I'll guarantee you it does. Now, in the story that you heard, it's the story of Noah. You know the story. The world is destroyed by flood. Noah's family is saved. Some of the animals are saved. Depending on the tradition, it's only two of every kind. Depending on another tradition, it's seven of the clean animals and two of the others. But either way, only a selection of animals are chosen. And when the flood subsides, God makes a promise to Noah. And that promise is that God will never again destroy the earth. Not just by flood. That comes in this part. The previous promise, just before this, is that God will never again destroy the whole earth. Why? Because God realizes that we are evil in the imaginations of our hearts. Not a very complimentary description, huh? We just can't help being destructive sometimes. Even when we do the best we know how to do, we don't see the consequences of our actions. And so we wind up doing harm when we intended to do good. In a way, it's a variation of what Jesus says to those who have nailed him to the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. God realized that we human beings don't know what we're doing most of the time. And so to punish us by destroying everything didn't do a bit of good. In a sense, God has changed the divine mind. Now, the ancient Hebrews had no trouble with that. God changing is an issue for us. Because you see, we've read Aristotle and Plato and have a sense of an unmoved mover that does not change. But the ancient Hebrew God could change. And God repents of having destroyed the whole world. And then Noah builds an altar of stones and sacrifices some of the clean animals. And in that sacrifice, a fire would be built. The animals would be cooked, actually incinerated. And the storyteller describes God as someone like you walking past your neighbor's house when they're having a cookout, when they've got the grill going, and you smell what they're cooking. God smelled the aroma of the sacrifice, and it was pleasing to God. And then God makes an agreement. The agreement includes never to destroy the whole world again, but this is a more specifically focused agreement. Never again, when it rains, do you have to be afraid that the entire earth will be flooded. Parts of it, perhaps, but never again the entire earth. And the reminder of that agreement will be a bow. It's the same word that's used for the bow of bow and arrow, the weapon. God lays down the weapon so that when God in future time gets angry and wants to just smash human beings, God will see the bow. We call it a rainbow. God will see the bow and God will be reminded of who we are how frail we are, and God will not bring destruction on us. Now, God does not promise not to let us destroy ourselves, but God will not initiate that destruction again. The reminder is for God. Of course, it's a reminder for us, too, when we see the bow. Now, the covenant, it's interesting. The covenant is not just made with Noah and his family and their descendants. No, the covenant is made with all creatures of every kind, of all flesh. Do you hear that repeated in that story? All creatures are a part of that covenant, which means we are kin to those domestic animals that we depend on to eat. We are kin even to the wild animals that strike fear in our hearts. I don't know if you read or heard that a Canadian writer named Farley Mowat died this past week. If you know any of his books, you probably know a book called Never Cry Wolf, published a number of years ago, in which he even talks about wolves and human relationship to the wolf population in Canada. Even those animals we fear are somehow related to us. I always find it interesting that over the past century and a half, Christians have taken such offense at the idea that we may be related to other primates. The teller of this story has no problem with that. We are indeed related to them. God made a covenant with all of us. We are family, in essence. So how do we treat our animals? Well, we treat our pets pretty well. Well, we try to, I think. Those who don't treat their pets well are caught and punished, or at least we hope they are. But it's very interesting that some decades back, we decided, I'm not sure who exactly decided this, but we decided that it would be better, instead of running farms like farms, that we should run farms like factories. And so instead of being related to that animal who may later provide food for you, those animals just become the material of production. Kept in small cages, small enclosures, where they can hardly move all of their lives. Now, this is very common today. Much of our meat that we eat comes to us this way, unless you know farmers around here and you purchase your meat from them. It's interesting to me that if someone is running a puppy mill, we will arrest them and put them in jail. But that's not true for the animals that we eat. Some years ago, I got a chance to hear Elie Wiesel speak. And Wiesel, as part of his speech, said something that has really stuck with me ever since. He said he was not going to use the term tolerate or toleration. He said when you tolerate someone, it puts you in a superior position and them in an inferior position because it's you who's doing the tolerating. No, he said from now on he was going to use the term respect because respect is something shared between or among equals. I would suggest to you that Jesus even ups the ante. Jesus calls us to love not just human beings, but all of God's creation. After all, he compares himself to a mother hen gathering chicks under his wings, doesn't he? Now, love is not some kind of gushy feeling. I've said it before. Love is a policy. It's how we treat others, whether we like them or not. But in order to do that, we have to acknowledge that we have a relationship to them. They are not just material of production. They are living creatures with whom God made a covenant. And even if we choose to kill and eat them, we do so with respect. On the farm, you make sure that the killing is done as quickly as possible and as painlessly as possible. That's not always the case today, because farms are not what they used to be. How do we begin to respect the created order? It seems to me that we have moved away from a biblical understanding of creation into one that is simply based around the economy, making as much money as fast as possible. Last week we talked about seeing the goodness in creation. You can't see the goodness unless you actually see creation, if you don't stop and look. Well, not only do we stop and look and see the goodness, but here we're told we're called to respect that creation because God made a covenant, not just with us, but with all creatures of every kind, of all flesh. Now, one of the people who has influenced my thinking on this and influenced my writing, as a matter of fact, is a farmer who's also a writer of essays and a poet named Wendell Berry. And Berry has written for years and years and years about how one cares for the earth, cares for animals with respect, and I would suggest even that kind of love that is a policy. So it's not impossible. There are ways to do this. We just haven't taken the time to learn those ways. But some of us have. Some of us have, and thank goodness. All of this, I believe, comes out of Berry's deep understanding of his relatedness to other creatures and the earth itself. Did you listen to what you were singing during the first hymn? It's a variation of the prayer of St. Francis. Francis extended it beyond creatures that we think of as flesh. The sun is our brother. The moon is our sister. The earth is our mother. We are related like family to everything in creation because we only have one creator. Wendell Berry takes that seriously. If you want to learn more about this, you may want to read him. But I'm going to close with a poem that he wrote. I found, right after I got out of college, in an anthology called The Voice That Is Great Within Us. And it has stuck with me and been formative for me ever since. It's called A Piece of Wild Things. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. Thanks be to God. We tell the story of our faith in many ways, and one of those ways is through our affirmations and creeds. So I'll invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal and join me as we affirm our faith with words we got from the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, and life and death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
We are so glad that God has called us together for worship on this day. If you are a guest among us, please join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right for a time of fellowship. And if this is your first time at West End, we extend a special welcome to you and hope that you will join us for fellowship after the service. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. One side is for prayer requests, and the reverse side is for any comments or questions you would like to share with staff or lay leadership. You can place this card in the offering plate in just a moment. If you've not yet done so, please take time now to record your attendance and then pass it down the row. And when it reaches the end of the row, pass it back down the row and take a moment to note who is with you in worship this morning. Today we offer sympathy to Bill and Jean Ferris, who are mourning the death of their grandson, Lane Carter Ferris, who died May 1st in Spring Hill, Tennessee. And we celebrate at the birth of Amelia Leanne Fazio, who was born April 20th to Stephen and Adrian Fazio. She is welcomed also by her big sister, Francesca. We also celebrate the birth of Caroline Elizabeth Rice, who was born May 2nd to Danielle and Tyler Rice in Bowling Green, Kentucky. She is also welcomed by her grandmother, Pam Rice. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds for prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, we doubt and we believe. Help us to hold both our doubt and our belief lightly, so we may be astonished and overjoyed when we see you, wounded and whole, living in our world. We doubt that we will see peace between various nations, and even sometimes within our own families. Yet you, Lord, are the Prince of Peace. Help us to bring peace into the world. We doubt we will see comfort for those who are victimized, violated, or discriminated against. Yet you, Lord, are a comforting God. Help us to bring comfort into our world. We doubt we will see health for those suffering from chronic illnesses, for those affected by malaria and other diseases, or for those who are malnourished. Yet you, Lord, healed those who came to you. Help us to bring healing to our world. Our Lord and our God, help us to believe. May we be present when you appear among us, and may we share the good news of your presence to the world, sharing peace, comfort, and healing with everyone. And may we find peace, comfort, and healing for ourselves in the words your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God has already given us all that we need. Let us now trust in God's continued care, so that we may share with others the abundance of our blessings through the giving of our tithes and our offerings.
Before we conclude our service, we would like to celebrate with the families of the graduating seniors and to recognize them and to offer a prayer of blessing over them. So if our graduating seniors would come forward and stand along the front here. Our youth sponsored a reception for the graduating seniors between services today, and a number of folks were there. We just want to send these folks off with our blessing. They have been formed by this community, and they have helped form this community. After the service, they'll be waiting in Reed Hall for a little while. You can go out and congratulate them individually, but right now we want to offer our blessing to these young folks. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of life and growth, the ability to learn. We thank you that you provide us with communities of people to help us grow closer to you as we learn more about your creation and about each other. Be with these young people as they go off to college, as they continue their learning. Help all of their learning to bring them closer to the love for all of creation that is reflected in your stories and in your Son, Jesus. Help those of us who love them to keep connected to them, to surround them with that ongoing support and love that is a reflection and a very small reflection of the great love you have for each and every one of them. They have been blessed. Now we send them forth as blessings for others. In your name, amen. Congratulations, guys. And now go forth with love and respect, serving God and your neighbor and all creation in all that you do. And God, who created, loved, and made covenant with all creation, Jesus Christ, reflecting God's love to all creation, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to reflect Christ's love
for all creation, be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.